Joshua 1, please. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. After death, Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke unto Joshua. Moses is dead. Now therefore arise. After the death of Moses, Moses is dead. Joshua arose. You know, I'm thankful that our Joshua arose. We heard tonight an awful lot about the risen man. What Moses could not do, the risen man could and did. But not just a living man. For his perfect life, in and of itself, and we speak as reverently as we can, could not save me. Not just a living man. Not just a dead man. For as perfect as his death was, and we speak as reverently as we can, could not save me, for a dead Savior is no Savior at all. But in His own words, the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ stresses when He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, gaze upon, look closely, inspect. It's an imperative word. Do it, brethren. Behold, I am alive forevermore, risen. Amen. Tonight, dear brethren, one word. Behold. Behold Him. Because just like it was with Joshua and the people, it is only in our direct connection to and our faith in our Joshua that we'll ever enter into the promises and the inheritance that's given to Him. Look at them in our chapter. Verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And just like if ever they were going to enter into the promises and the inheritance that were made to Joshua directly into this direct dialogue between the Lord and their Joshua, so also us and ours. It is sure. And it's all wrapped up in the risen man and what a risen man he is. I'm so thankful. After death, Joshua arose. Behold our Joshua, brethren. Behold him. Mark chapter 16, please. Mark 16, 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Please, dear brethren, behold him received up, welcomed in, the perfect risen servant who has perfectly accomplished all for his master is gladly received up into heaven and in perfect service, having completely satisfied, having dealt with everything his master had given him to do, sat down on the right hand of God, having fully been received, fully accepted, fully approved of God. And yet, this risen man, our Joshua, is so perfect a servant that his service was in no way diminished, yea, even strengthened and broadened by death. What a servant this risen man is. Look at it. He's such a perfect servant that his service, his work, never stops. It says, and they went forth and he and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. What a servant. What a Savior. Behold him, brethren. What a risen man. Still working. This day, this moment, right where we are now, with all that we have to tend to, He's still working. This servant, having satisfied his father, his master in every way, having been given the privilege of being seated at the right hand of God, we speak as reverently as we can, did not kick up his feet from that place on high. He still forever shall be the perfect servant of Jehovah. Behold him, dear brethren. He's been received in. Behold him carried up in Luke 24. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Carried up. Behold him carried up. If in Mark he was the perfect servant received up as a result of his work being perfectly carried out in every way, absolutely received by his master, received the best well done ever to be received. Here in this passage, he's carried up, still lovingly and gladly and victoriously, yet submissively and willingly, the perfect, dependent, risen man. And I tell you, dear brethren, he'll ever be that perfect, risen man. Behold him. See him now in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. Brethren, I tell you, heaven has never been the same since. There's a man in the glory. There's a man in the Father's house. What a thought. Behold him there. There's a man up yonder in the glory who is touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. Behold him. Let's read it. Hebrews 4. Verse 14, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a thought. The Son, the eternal Son, became Jesus. He wasn't always Jesus, you know. Our Joshua. And we speak as reverently as we can, and we tread on holy ground when we say these things. But having become a man, he is now qualified to be our great high priest. Behold him, brethren. This man is no amateur priest. He's great. And he's high. And he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Believe it. Hold fast to it, the writer says. And come boldly. And when we pray and we don't know what to say, you can never be more accurate when you just bow and say, Lord Jesus, Thou knowest. Believe it. Behold Him, brethren. Behold the man seated up yonder in the glory. Matthew 28. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. No ascension in Matthew. We don't have a servant received in gladly and welcomed in for his finished service for his master. Nor do we have a dependent man carried into glory. But here in Matthew, it's one with all power and all the authority of the Godhead in His Word. He says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Authority. All power. It sounds remarkably to me like a king, doesn't it? And all that the king commands in this setting that's before us right here in the passage, all that he commands is to take place where? Right here on our planet. Right here in the scene in which we find ourselves, I'll tell you, this one with all power, this one with all the authority of the Godhead, this one who rules and reigns does not have to wait till some unknown day in the future, unknown to us, that is, before he is king. Behold him, brethren, he is sovereign right now. All the way through. All the way through. Lo, I am with you all the way. Clear the way through. Paul knew it. When in 1 Timothy chapter 1, when Paul was rehearsing his conversion. And when he looked back and when he thought about what he was saved from and who he was that was rescued from that place where he was doomed, he couldn't get over it. And the only thing he could do when he thought of such a one as this would save such a one as he was, all he could do was burst into worship when he thought of, I'm the chief of sinners, and yet he saved me. All he could do is burst into worship and say, now unto the King eternal. Now. He's King now. Paul knew it. He couldn't get over it. And then in chapter 6, he's encouraging his young friend, his young brother in the faith, his son in the faith. And he's encouraging him, don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going on. And he's trying to find words that are appropriate for him to not give up in fighting the good fight. And keeping on until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says to Timothy, as it were, what we're saying tonight, behold him. He is, right now, the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. No ascension needed in Matthew. He's already king. Make no mistake about it. Then finally, John 1. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Chapter 3. Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Behold him, brethren. As to John's gospel, there's no need for an ascension for the risen Son. For regarding the relationship of the Father, John Baptist said, he is in the bosom of the Father. And the Son himself said that though he came down, he is in heaven. Behold him there. The eternal Son is now and always has been, and ever shall be, in eternal and delightful and unbroken relationship with his Father. Please note, as you behold him, brethren, that your Bible and mine never says that that relationship was ever interrupted, even at Calvary. Our Lord never cried, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? There are no mistakes in your Bible. Your Bible and mine never says that the Father turned His back on the Son. We heard something about that rod of God's judgment falling on the rock instead of me. You ever try to smite someone with your back turned to them? I tell you, never, no, never, ever was the Father ever more pleased with His beloved Son. Never, ever did He find more delight ever than when He bore God's own judgment, wrath, and curse, and my sin and yours in His own body on the tree. And He so plainly has demonstrated His delight when He raised Him from the dead and exalted Him to the highest place of all. My dear brethren, there is no doubt that He left that place that He had always enjoyed, that place of all the rights and privileges that were His. And He stooped into this scene of sin and corruption, but never, ever, ever did He ever cease to be what He had always been. The absolute delight of His Father's heart. This, dear brethren, is the eternal Son of God. We can do nothing but fall down and worship and cry out, "What led thy Son, O God, to leave thy throne on high, to shed His precious blood, to suffer and to die?" It was love, unbounded love to Thee, our God, and us, that led Him to die and suffer thus. Blessed be His name. Behold Him risen. Behold Him received up. Absolutely satisfactory to the Master in every way. Behold Him, dear brethren, carried up. Absolutely in every way perfect man. A man up yonder who is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Behold Him, dear brethren, not ascended, but our risen King, our sovereign now. And behold Him as the ever delight of the Father's heart, the eternal Son of God. Blessed be His name.